in the previous year, so we spoke about exactly which day of the week Shabbos is. So for most of us, that's not so complicated. For people who live in this part of the world, so we know pretty much when Shabbos is. But even though we know, of course, which day of the week Shabbos is, what is unclear is when exactly this day begins, or for that matter, when exactly this day ends, which really touches upon a really fundamental Kotar Kula question, which of course perhaps the most serious ramifications are in terms of Chol Shabbos, of Yom Tov, but it really touches on many, many issues in terms of Zman Hayom. What is the significance of the time, what's called in Halacha Ben Hashmashos? What exactly is Ben Hashmashos? When exactly is Ben Hashmashos? When does it start? When does it end? We're going to focus primarily in terms of Shabbos, but many things are going to be relevant for other areas of Halacha as well. So the sugya begins in the first of the Ma'amikamos in the Sechah Shabbos, Naflavadal and Rodeis, the sugya in Bemem Adlikin. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah that speaks about Sapich HaShecha, Sapich Enech HaShecha, that we said every Friday night. So the Braisa quotes Tanu Rabbanan, Ben Hashmasha, Sapich Merayom, Umin Alayla, Sapich Kulu Merayom, Sapich Kulu Min Alayla. So we have a lot of sakis about Ben Hashmasha, this period of time that's not quite Yom, not quite Layla. So we don't know what to do with it. So we're a Mesubach, maybe there's a little bit of Yom to it, maybe a little bit of Layla to it, maybe it's totally Yom, maybe it's totally Layla, really not sure where in the world to place this idea of Ben Hashmasha. So the Gemara Kvaisa concludes, but since we really don't know what to do with this Ben Hashmashos period, we treat it l'chumra on all directions. Of course, in Ilchus Shabbos, that's easily understandable. When it comes Friday afternoon, so we enter into this twilight zone of Ben Hashmashos, so we don't know what to do. Is it Yom or is it Laila? So we would be required to refrain from the Lachot because maybe it's already Laila. On the other hand, when it comes to the end of Shabbos, so we have no right to say, well, it's already Ben Hashmashos, so therefore, well, yesterday we treated as Laila, so let's treat as Laila and head out, drive home from Shul. Can't do that either, because maybe it's still Yom. So therefore, we have to be machri on both sides, even though in a certain sense the chumras are contradictory. It can't be, it's either Yom or it's Laila, but it doesn't matter. The halacha says that we give it all the chumras of everything. On Erev Shabbos, we treat it as Laila, and Matzoy Shabbos, we treat it as Yom. And now the question becomes, Ezu Ben Hashmashos, when exactly is this period of time that we're not sure about? So the Braisa gives us two, in a sense, astronomical signs. One of them is Mishetishok Achama. So we know that it has something to do with the sun, something to do with the setting of the sun. We're not exactly sure what that means, but it has something to do with the setting of the sun. As long as the Pnei Mizrach, the eastern part of the sky, is still Ma'adim, is still red, so the eastern part of the sky is away from where the sun is setting in the west. So it sounds like Kolzman, that the eastern side of the sky is still a little bit receiving rays from the sun's direction. So that's all considered to be Ben Hashmasha. So even though presumably you can't see the sun itself, that's what it sounds like, the sun is already set, but it's still producing enough light to be called Ben Hashmashos. After that point is reached, then somehow then it's considered the end of Ben Hashmashos, that's the beginning of Laila. So of course this is going to be hard for us to identify precisely how long this is, so Baruch Hashem the Gemara goes on to proceed to tell us exactly tachas how much this really is. So comes the second of the Marmikamos in that same daf, Lamedan Rabeis, the Itmar, Shir Ben Hashmashos Bekama, those of us who are not such experts in the sun's arrays, so tachas in terms of minutes, how long is it? So Amar Rab, Amar Ravina Meshmul, Shlosha Chelke Mil, so of course Chazal never used the term minutes. Chazal used a different way of calculating time. They calculated time in terms of a mil. A mil is an amount of a distance, how far a person can walk in X amount of time. So the Gemara says it's the amount that a person can walk, shlosha chelke mil. So we don't know how much a mil is. We're not sure what shlosha chelke mil means in the next thing. So first thing Gemara tries to explain, my shlosha chelke mil, what does it mean? Three portions of a mil. Ilei matlosa palge mila. If chelk a mil, a chelik of a mil means a half a mil, so then that's a very, very strange way of presenting one and a half mil. If you wanted to describe one and a half mil, so you should have said one and a half mil. So you name a tlasa pag and you name a bil mechta. I should have said a mil and a half, and three portions of a mil. Ela tlasa tilse mila. Rather, three portions of a mil must mean three thirds of a mil. Name a mil. That's an even more silly way of describing it. You should say a mil. So ela tlasa rive mila. The only way to make any sense out of the statement is that it means three quarters of a mil. That's the bottom line. So that's what we pass in Lalocha. The Ben Hashmashos, from whatever it starts. Again, we don't know exactly when it starts. We know it has something to do with the sun setting. From the moment that this Shetishat HaChama takes place until the end of Ben Hashmashos is three quarters of a mil. How much does this tachlis correspond to? So we know how long a mil is. A mil is 2,000 amos. The question is, we have to now time 2,000 amas, see how long it takes an average person walking at an average pace to walk 2,000 amas. So Baruch Hashem, the Rishon already did the experiment and came up with three different possibilities. So we're going to work with the number 18 minutes. We're going to assume that whenever Chazal used the phrase mil, that is synonymous with 18 minutes. That may or may not be correct. Some Rishonim do say it, others disagree. For our purposes, we're going to say it only because otherwise the rest of the Shias is going to become complicated calculations. So we're going to use the number 18 minutes for simplicity. It's true according to many Rishonim. And therefore, when the Gemara says plus a rive mila, so what that comes out to is 13 and a half minutes. If I remember my high school math, so 13 and a half minutes is 3/4 of a meal. We're familiar with a meal being 18 minutes of milchus chamek. The Gemara says in Maseches Tzachim, if you take flour and water and let it sit together and you don't do anything to it, so for 18 minutes you're still safe. For a meal you're still safe, the Gemara says. Once you've reached the point of a meal, then you're asking for potential trouble. So a meal we assume is 18 minutes, therefore we get the number 18 minutes vis-a-vis milchus chamek to matzah as well. It's probably going to have a big impact, yeah, for sure. If you have a chazanish amma, which if every amma is a couple of inches bigger than the smaller amma, so then if the 2,000 is for sure going to add up a difference. So Chopanim, the Gemara is telling us that the Shia bottom line of Ben Hashmash is 3/4 of a mil. If the 3/4 of a mil, it's already Laila, that stays Kechavim, presumably you could do Malachim, it's a Shabbos, etc. Comes the Gemara in the third of the Mamakamos, in Maseches Pesachim, the Tzadidah of Aleph, and gives us an entirely different picture of Zman Hayyun. Comes the Gemara and says, Me'alos HaShachar Adanei Techama, Abos Milin. The amount of time between Me'alos HaShachar, the early beginning of the sky getting the light, until the sun actually rises in the morning, is 4 Milin. So using our calculation of 18 minutes, that being 72 minutes. Mishkiya Techama V'yatzeis Kichavim Abos Milin. And from Shkiya until Tzeis Kichavim, that's also parallel going to be 4 Milin, i.e. 72 minutes. So here we have a major problem. Here we have a totally different calculation than the Sugya Masechta Shabbos. In Masechta Shabbos, we're talking about a very, very small amount of time, 13 and a half minutes. In Masechta Pesachim, we're talking about 72 minutes. So how in the world do you resolve that contradiction? So the answer to this contradiction, the way to resolve this contradiction, is a fundamental machlokes in Rishonim, and all of Zman Hayyam, and everything that we talk about Zman Hayyam today, will ultimately revolve around how to solve this dilemma. How do you resolve the fact that one Gemara seems to present Ben Hashmashas as being very, very small, 3/4 of a mil, 13 and a half minutes, another Gemara speaks about a much, much longer Ben Hashmashas of 4 milin, i.e. 72 minutes. So it comes to Tosfos in the fourth of the Mamakomas, and Psachim and Daf Tzadidah and Amid Aleph, and Tosfos points out the obvious problem. Review the Oyma Mishkiyas Acham Etz Kham Abba Milim. Kashel Rabbeinu Tam. Don't forget that name, Rabbeinu Tam. We're gonna hear a lot about Rabbeinu Tam tonight. Kashel Rabbeinu Tam. The Besof Bemamas Likin Omar Eizu Ben Hashmashos. Mishet Ishot Acham Etz Man Shepen Mizuch Madim and Div Rabbi Yehuda. Umaskin and Hosam the Ben Hashmashos Rabbi Yehuda plus a Rivi Mil. So how come Rabbi Yehuda Gufei Abba Mil? To make matters worse, it happens to be Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Tana in Maseches Shabbos, and he's also the Tana in Maseches Tzachim. So you can't even pull off a stump to tell me to Machlokes HaTanan. It's the same person, the same Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, says both things. So V'yesh Loima says Rabbi Nekam, T'hochel Ka'ama Mitchila Shkia, T'haynu Mishoa Shematchela Sachama Likones Be'obi Aratia, Ana Laila V'dalaminin, Milenim, so I have a Hosem Ka'ama Mishoa Shkia. Says Rabbi Natam, obviously there are two different beginning points. The sugya is referring to two different times of quote unquote shkia. The sun is, believe it or not, setting two times. Now obviously it's not setting and coming out again and setting again. Obviously that's not what it means. But Rabbi Natam just told us is that there are two different points in time astronomically where it can be potentially called shkia. Shkia can either be called Mishasha Vatchelos Achabali Kanesh Be'obi Harakia. That means when the sun in effect disappears under the horizon. That's what we're going to translate Rabbi Natam to mean. That's what we usually associate with Shkia. When you're looking at the ball of the sun, you're looking, 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 and then all of a sudden it's gone. It's nichnas be'over Shkia. It's been like swallowed up, so to speak, into the sky. We just dip beneath the horizon. That's one potential definition of Shkia. But as we all know, it's very light outside, even after the sun sets. It's light for quite some time after the sun sets. If you remember the rules of driver's ed, if I'm not mistaken, I think you're technically allowed to drive for a half hour after Shkia without your lights on. I'm not saying it's a good idea or a bad idea, but in theory, you're allowed to do that. We have a different Messiah in our family that's under the lights. The Nafkamina is Ladina about how long you're allowed to play ball outside. So we have a Messiah from one of the experts in the field, i.e. the plastic surgeons, who have informed us that the largest amount percentage of kids getting stitches playing ball happen in the dark hours when you misjudge that baseball, when you misjudge the tree that you ran into thinking that it wasn't first base. That's one of my kids who was zeicher to that. Anyway, so the bottom line is we're very machmer. We don't wait no half hour for shkia. Ready by shkia is already done. Even a few minutes before shkia, ready with machmer that the games in theory come to an end. Unless we decide to put lights out in the field.
The difference between shkia sachama and tzeis hakol also depend upon the seasons of the
year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that.
This is the standard for the standard days of the year. You may Nisan, you may Tishrei. We're going to talk about that as we go on. But things are going to fluctuate. So Kol Panim comes up in a time and says that the reason why we have a discrepancy in terms of numbers, in terms of time, is because we have two different starting points. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, which speaks about 4 million, that means from the moment that the sun dips beneath the horizon until it actually gets dark, until Tzeis Kechem, until the stars come out, which is the Siman of Laila, that's the first thing in Brachas Abdeis, that when the stars come out, that's called Laila. So says Rabbi Natam, you have to start the count from the time the sun dips beneath the horizon. That's when it starts, and it goes 4 million, and again, for convenience sake, we're calling a mil for 18 minutes. That means 72 minutes from after the sun sets until it actually halachically is dark, until Tzeis Kechem, it's going to take 4 million, i.e. 72 minutes. So what in the world is the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos talking about? When the Gemara says that Ben HaShemash is all of 3/4 of a mil, all of 13 minutes, says Rabbi Natan in one fell swoop, that when the sun sets, what we think Shkia is, we think that the sun just dipped beneath the horizon, and that's very important in Halacha, Rabbi Natan says that is just about meaningless in Halacha. The sun is beneath the horizon, that doesn't mean anything, that's not halachically Shkia. That's what we call Shkia Rishona. That's the beginning of Shkia, but it doesn't really mean anything up to Halacha. It's still considered to be Yom, according to Rabbi Natan. It's Yom for a long time. Ben HaShemashos, halachic Ben HaShemashos starts at what's called Shkia Shnia. Shkia Shnia means when the rays of the sun is so the sun is so beneath the horizon you can barely make out the rays of the sun anymore. That's the halachic shkia. And when does that take place? So that takes place, very simple math, that takes place 58 and a half minutes after the sun actually, what we call, sets. Where did I get that magic number 58 here? Very simple. According to Ben Tam, from the moment the sun sets, physically, the ball goes under the horizon until the stars come out, is 72 minutes. There is only 13 and a half of halachic minutes of Ben HaShemashos. Those are the last 13 and a half minutes of that 72 minute period. That means until those 13 and a half minutes begin, it's nothing. It's Mamash Yom Gomer. It's still Friday or it's still Shabbos. Whatever the day was, it still remains to be the day. At 58 and a half minutes, all of a sudden we get the clap and the shtender. This is Ben HaShemashos. You look outside, it's hard to tell Ben HaShemashos begins. But according to Ben Tam, that's when Ben HaShemashos starts. And it lasts all 13 and a half minutes. So according to Ben Tam, everything is Amakom Yavim B'Shalom. The Gemara that says that Ben HaShemashos is halachically 13 and a half minutes, that's exactly what the Gemara means in Shabbos. The Gemara that says that from Shkia to Tzeis is 72 minutes, that means something totally different. That means from when the ball of the sun goes down, which is meaningless up the Halacha. This is the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Practically speaking, let's just put this into some real scenarios for us. So let's say, what time, quote unquote, was Shkia today? Is that 8:10 or so?
Yeah.
I mean, give or take. Let's say, we call today Shkia was, let's say, for argument's sake, 8:10. So that means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what happened halachically at 8:10? Absolutely nothing. Mamish, nothing happened at 8:10 according to Rabbeinu Tam. Nothing happened at 8:20, nothing happened at 8:30, nothing happened at 8:40. What time is Yom Gomer according to Rabbeinu Tam? At 9 o'clock, it was still Yom Gomer. Anyone daven at 9 o'clock, Meirav? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it was Yom Gomer until when? Until 9:08 and a half. At 9:08 and a half, then it became Ben HaShemashos. Then it became only Suffolk. Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. And at what point does it become Laila Gomer? At 9:22. That was, again, assuming that number 72 minutes is correct, it may not be true, but just for convenience sake. So comes a bit of time and says that even though the sun has officially, quote unquote, set, that is meaningless in halacha, that's Shkia Rishona, that doesn't have any ramifications for general halacha. And according to Ben Tam, catch this one, this Friday, so the sun's going to set, let's say, okay, we'll make it, keep it 8:10 for convenience. So let's say the sun's going to set at 8:10. According to Ben Tam, what's the rush? You can drive your car at 8:15, then at 8:20, then at 8:25, then at 9, at 9, what number we say, 9:08, whatever it was, 9:08 and a half, whatever the number is, you better make sure to stop driving. And then you have Ben HaShemashos, and then showing, and then at 9:20, Shabbos starts the Torah's Vaday. And on Motzei Shabbos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you are Chalila driving your car at 9:07, you're a Mechal Shabbos Gomer. You're not a suffering Mechal Shabbos. You're a Vada Mechal Shabbos. You're doing Malach on Shabbos itself. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, basically what we call Shkia is pretty much meaningless in Halacha. The real point is 58 and a half minutes later. This is Rabbeinu Tam's solution to the problem. We'll get to Mechal. This was not only the Rabbeinu Tam solution, there are other Rishonim who followed Rabbeinu Tam as well. To such an extent that the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Mamakamis can simon raise Samach Alas if Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch is discussing a related topic, we'll get to a little bit a moment later. The Shulchan Aruch is addressing the issue of Tosefa Shabbos. Tosefa Shabbos, assuming that it exists, means that the halacha requires of you to refrain from halacha a little bit before Shabbos actually starts. So when exactly are you supposed to do this? A little bit before Shabbos starts. Tonight's Wednesday night, so it's a little bit before Shabbos starts. That's a little bit too early. So it's got to be close to Shabbos. How close to Shabbos does it have to be to fulfill Tosefes? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the fifth Maimakai, Mesiyesh Omrim, Shetzorach Lahosif Michal HaKodesh, Uzman Tosefes Zeh Ubitchilas Hashkia, She'ein HaShemesh Niris Ala Oretz Adman Ben Hashmashos. So says the Shulchan Aruch, the only time that makes sense to be the Kabbal Shabbos, to start Shabbos early, it only makes sense when it's so close to Shabbos that the sun is already astronomically set. That's already close to Shabbos. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday is too early. 6 o'clock too early. 7 o'clock too early. It's already 8:10. The sun is already down. Not Shabbos yet. This is Rabbeinu Tam, in effect, speaking. Shacharis Kohen Rabbeinu Tam. So that begins to make sense to have a Tosefa Shabbos. And how long is this Tosefa Shabbos? This amount of time that's eligible for Tosefa Shabbos is 3 1/4 mil. If you want to refrain from halacha the whole period of time, fine. Rotzel asos ben omnictus alset. If you want to refrain half of it, part of it, a third of it, a quarter of it, 10 minutes of it, that's also okay. There is no shiur of ben ashma. There is no shiur of Tosefa Shabbos. You can't be moisif at 9:20, that's too late. You can't even be moisif at 9:10, that's too late. It has to be vada yom. The mitzvah of the Tosefa Shabbos is to refrain from halach at a time when, even though it's vada yom. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, the bottom line is that ben ashmashos doesn't start until 58 and a half minutes later. So you have a pretty big window of opportunity, 58 and a half minute possibility of the Tosefa Shabbos. You want to make all the Tosefes, part of the Tosefes, a little bit of Tosefes, half the Tosefes, quarter, whatever you want, that's fine. But somewhere in that 58 and a half minutes, you have to be Mekabel Shabbos. This is the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, who's quoting verbatim from a Ramban, who said this chat within the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So this is all the view of Rabbeinu Tam. This is all one theory, one theme that's permeated the whole sugya. It all started with Rabbeinu Tam trying to resolve the contradiction between the two sugyas. It's the Ramban who threw in the Tosefa Shabbos story. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting this halacha. Now, if it comes to Mishneh Berurah in the sixth Imam Mekamos and comments on this line, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah raised the Mechas in Kot Mechot Gimel. V'inei Shulchan Aruch hiski b'siv zed das Rabbeinu Tam b'siyato. Says, yes, it's true, says the Mishneh Berurah, that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the view of Rabbeinu Tam and those who follow the Ramban, and those who follow the Rabbeinu Tam. Aval, harbe me'arishayim svir lehu. There are many, many Rishayim who disagree. Who are some of these Rishayim? So the Mishneh Berurah here doesn't mention who they are. In the Bir Halacha, he elaborates who they are. The Rif, and the Rambam, and the Goyim, and the many, many Rishonim who disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. And now comes the real punchline. V'gam Agra hiskim l'shitosam. There's a long, long, long Bir Agra in Shulchan Aruch and Tzimin Reis HaMechalef. Two tremendous, tremendous columns of Bir Agra, where he goes through all the calculations to try to show you why he disagrees with everything Rabbeinu Tam said. Tries to show you all the Gemara is against Rabbeinu Tam. So I had Rachmanis on myself and those who printed up the Ramakomas and everyone here. I didn't put the whole Bir Agra on. I didn't even put half the Bir Agra. I didn't put any of the Bir Agra on. I just put that one line, V'gam Agra Hiskel Shitosam. So you trust me, if you have about 10 hours tonight, you want to spend some time reading through the Agra, so make sure you have good reading glasses on for the occasion. But the bottom line is the Agra was the one who gave the real stamp of approval to this other sheet in Rishonim, and this has even become colloquially known to us as the Gra Shita, the Gra Zmanim. The Gra, like many things, the Gra didn't make up a lot of things. The Gra didn't make up a lot of things. The Gra was possible, like different Rishonim. But the Gra had such class, such weight in Sefer Halacha that if he subscribed to Shita, it became known as the Gra Shita. You have a lot of things like that. Like, the Gra was known for that there's a mitzvah kiyumis eat mouth of the whole week of Pesach. The Rishonim who said that already, but it became the Gra Shita because of the stature of the Gra. So to over here, the Gra was the one who gave the stamp of approval on the Rishonim who disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. And what happens according to the Gra? A whole different picture. If a guy is given l'shitoso, says the Gra, the very basic premise of Rabbeinu Tam is not correct. The very definition of shkia means exactly what we all thought shkia was until 10 minutes ago. Until we walked into the shkia, we all thought shkia meant when the sun sets. So the Gra says, guess what? Baruch Hashem, we were right. That the sun sets, i.e., we call astronomical sunset, the ball of the sun, you're watching, it dips beneath the horizon. That is shkia. That is halachically significant. That is the beginning of Ben HaShemashos, says the Gra. How long does Ben HaShemashos last? Exactly as long as the Gemara Shabbat says it lasts. 13 and a half minutes. So do the math. If the sun, quote unquote, set today at 8:10, at 8:23 and a half, it is no longer Ben HaShemashos. It is already Vaday Laila, says the Gra. So, Im Kain, what in the world is the significance of the four milin? What was the Gemara talking about four milin? So the Gra says, the four milin, if you look carefully at that Gemara was not talking about halachically tzeiskechavim. The Gemara was talking about how long does it take for the stars to come out. There are a lot of stars out in the sky. You don't see all the stars right away. The stars are always there. They're there in the daytime also. You just can't see them because the sun is so bright. But as the sun sets, as the light starts to ebb, and it gets darker and darker and darker and darker, then you see more and more and more and more stars. That's pretty much what happens. So halachically, all you need is to taste gibbo kechavim. Once you have three stars that come out, that's the shear. That's called taste kechavim. But the reality is that even when three stars are out, there aren't a thousand stars out. You can't see them because it's still pretty light outside. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, after 72 minutes, after the sun sets, the sky is as full of stars as it's going to get. That's as dark as it ever gets. By 72 minutes after Shkia, it's not going to get any darker at 1 o'clock in the morning. And therefore, all the stars, it's called Yitzias Kelek Yechavim, have already exited. You already can see them. What is the halachic significance of Yitzias Kelek Yechavim? Absolutely nothing. Says the Gemara in Pesachim wasn't even talking about halachic Yitzias Kechavim. When the Gemara uses the phrase "b'shkiyas acham v'yatzeis kichavim abos milin," the Gemara didn't mean the halachic tzeis kichavim. That's three stars. That we already know from Shabbos. It's three quarters of a mil, 13 and a half minutes. The yatzeis kichavim, the tzeis kichavim of Maseches Pesachim, just means an astronomical reality. If you want to know what your planetarium looks like at 72 minutes, it's going to be full of stars. That's all it means, says the Gemara. So it comes out that according to the Gemara, everything is the flip side, obviously opposite of Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam said, when the sun sets, that's a nothing. So the Gra said, that's a nothing. That's everything. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam said, when the stars come out at 72 minutes, that's the real McCoy. The Gra says, that's the real McCoy. That's a Gronish. That's a nothing. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, the three quarters of a mil, the 13 and a half minutes were at the end of the picture. According to the Gra, they're at the beginning of the picture. So now, how does that play out in terms of Zman Yayin for us? So let's go through the same day, the same 8:10 day. So according to the Gra, comes 8:10, the sun sets, that's already Safek Yom Safek Laila. If today would be Friday, and the sun sets at 8:10, if a person does Malach at 8:11, he's a Safek Mechal Shabbos Deraisa. Can't say for sure, it's only Ben HaShemashos, but it's a Safek Mechal Shabbos Deraisa, one split second after Shkia. 13 and a half minutes later, Shabbos as Vaday started. What about on Matzah Shabbos? On Matzoy Shabbos, if you do Malacha at 8:11, it's a Safek Chilul Shabbos. If you do Malacha at 8:23 and a half, it's Hetabomah. According to the Gra, Shabbos is over at 8:23. You can imagine the discrepancy here. According to Rabbeinu Tam, 8:23, the guy hasn't even started Shabbos. The guy still hasn't gotten up from his nap at 8:23. It's Shabbos Gomer, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Gra, it's Chol Gomer. On Friday afternoon, so it was already Shabbos Gomer according to the Gra, and it's Chol Gomer according to Rabbeinu Tam. So you have this good chunk of time, a good 40 minutes of time, bait at the beginning of Shabbos, bait at the end of Shabbos, more than 40 minutes of time, bait at the beginning, then at the end, which according to the Gra is either Vada Shabbos or Vada Chol. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the opposite is either Vada Shabbos or Vada Chol. So you thought last week was bad enough that we had days we weren't sure what Shabbos is. Even for us who know what day Shabbos is, there's a period, there's a chunk of time at the beginning, at the end of Shabbos, where we can't say for certain, is it really Friday, is it really Shabbos, is it really Shabbos, is it really Sunday? There's not so much. 23 out of the 24 hours, you know exactly when Shabbos is. But there's a small window of opportunity at the beginning, at the end of Shabbos, which is the Machlokes, the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam, which day it actually belongs to. So now, comes the Mishnah Berurah and continues. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you go back to that line, the third line, that after that time, after 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets, it's a laila gomer min atar for everything, even Shabbos. Ulufizah says the Mishnah Berurah, Yesh lizor me'od shlo lasos melocha acha shecham niskasi me'enenu. So says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to be very, very careful never ever to do melocha after the sun physically sets. After we call astronomical sunset, after 8:10. Why? Because according to the Gemara, there's a suffix for Shabbos deraisa. If you have filu melechas mitzvah, Torah melechas aderes, let's do the Shabbos gamkin, yizor me'od. In case you didn't catch the ma'od last time, Mishnah Berurah repeats it. Yizor ma'od shel ligmoa lakosim kodim shetishat achama. So liachakech ubechla ben hashmashas, etc. And then he says, v'lechatchila ein lahamtin adarega acharon. He says, don't wait till the last second. Rak yakti ben lakosim yishar she hashemesh barash ha'ilonos, he'll come on. U'misha machmir al-atzim al-porish atzim al-loch hatisho al-koparim shlisho al-koparim shkia asher eloi. He says, if you can wait, if you can be Makabal Shabbos a half hour before, 20 minutes before, something like that, lech benchi, whatever numbers you put in, matzoi, but after that, after shki is out of the question. But, he says, if you continue in the second line, the end of the second line, so now that the Mishnah Berurah just said that nobody today is going to be makel against the grunt, no one's going to have the guts to do malacha after shkia today, according to the Rif and the Ram and the Gaonim and the Vilnagon, it's mamish, sotik isa gomer, isa chol shabbos deraisa, no one's going to do malacha after shkia today. I should say today, in today's world, nobody would do malacha. In Europe, it wasn't that way. In Europe, there were some communities that paskin like Rabbein Tam, like Gamre, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Certain communities in Hungary, they held mamish like the Shulchan Aruch against, they weren't various that the Gra with the Ram, they held mamish straight like the Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbein Tam's manim, and they would say, do malacha after Shkia, because they held mamish like Rabbein Tam. But today, that sheet is gone. There is a rumor, I don't think there's any truth to this legend, but the way supposedly the legend goes is that there was a haskama that was made between Rabban Cutler and the Satmar Rebbe about this. That apparently in Satmar in Europe, so they used to do malachi after Shkia, and Rabban Cutler from Lithuania, from the Gra, so that was considered to be Mamash Chol Shabbos. So apparently the legend goes of some kind of an agreement made that if you don't do malachi after Shkia, so we'll wait 72 minutes after Shabbos, something like that, and make everybody happy. So I'm not sure who kept the half of the bargain, but we'll leave it at that. But anyway. But the bottom line is that if you're assuming, like the Gra, if you really honestly believe that the Gra is right, Dei Lekula Bein Lechumra, then Shabbos ends awfully early. Shabbos ends 13.5 minutes after Shkia. So then the Mishnah Berurah continues. L'inyan Masei Shabbos, Ayin Dibei Halacha Shebiyayinu B'Shem HaPoskim, L'Lekula Yalma Hashir D'Gimul Rebei Mil Mishtana L'Fi Hazman V'Hamachom. It's kind of what was alluded to before, that this magic number of 3/4 of a mil after Shkia, that's Teis Kechavim, says the Mishnah Berurah that Rishon already pointed out, the Gra says this is another Poshut, that's not a constant. That's going to change depending on where you are, depending on what time of the year. We know that the further north, the further away you get from the equator, so the longer it takes for it to get dark. We know just from our own experience, in Israel it gets dark much quicker than it does in the New York area. So now we have to calculate that into the Cheshbon. Because if the Gemara is talking about Shurim that were presumably given in Eretz Yisrael, so the Shurim were given, the Tanoim were speaking in Eretz Yisrael, so the Shurim were given in Eretz Yisrael, so a little bit further north, but not too much more than Eretz Yisrael. So then how do those numbers play out in terms of communities which are farther north? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that Mishtan Lefi Hazman V'Mochom, V'Namar Zeh B'Gemar El B'Ofak Bavel V'Zman Nisa V'Tishrei, Shayom V'Leila Shavim. Says we, the Mishnah Berurah, we live in Radin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Radin's up in the top of the world. It's all the way up north. He says, "This arech harbe yaser hakein yesh lizor meoch lo lasis malachim b'tzay Shabbos avshen es aches man rabach reshkia." So says the Mishnah Berurah. He says you can no longer make believe and say 13.5 minutes after shkia, showing walk away and go do malacha. 13.5 minutes after shkia in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the springtime, maybe, but not in Rabin, not in places that are further north. So what's the shia? So the Mishnah Berurah, I know what the shia is. I have no idea. Says you have to figure out some kind of a relationship between the 13.5 minutes of Eretz Yisrael to where you are north. That's quite a difficult calculation. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so forget the calculations. Throw out all the calculations. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why don't you look at the sky? He says, Ad Shiyul Gibu Kecham Ketanim. So look at the sky and see if you see 3 stars. And then you know for sure that's Teis Kechavim. Why does it say 3 small stars? So the Gemara says, the Pharisee, you don't have to wait for small stars. You have to wait for Kecham Menenim. You have to wait for medium-sized stars. But already the Rishonim write, who's going to judge what the medium is? If you look at three stars, you can tell me whether they're medium or small. So therefore the Rishonim write that we're not just Bekim, we're not just astronomers anymore. So we look for the small stars. If you see three small stars, then you know you have three medium stars. So that's what you see as Gemal Kechavim. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, in theory, if you live in Baghdad, or you live in Babel in the middle of the springtime, so you don't have to bother looking at the sky, just look at your watch. 13 half days after Shia, sure, you can do Malacha and that's it. But Lemaisa, if you live further north, so that's not going to be a test anymore. So you have to look, Nebuch, you're stuck, you got to go back to the old way of doing things, looking back at the sky. It's funny because, you know, in today's world, we are about as far removed from looking at the sky as one could possibly imagine. So today, you know, who looks at the sky? People call on their phone, they check on their email, they see what time the Zman HaYom are. Nobody looks at the sky anymore. I've told over the story, I don't remember I told it over here, but a couple of years ago, I was in Rosh HaNikra, and you know, it was a beautiful, you know, looking over the ocean and over the sea. And it was mamash right around Shkia time. If it was for Shkia, mamash, the beautiful, the blazing sun, the ball of sun setting over the water, over the caves. It's mamash, beautiful, and it's lost a bird. So there were a couple of people who were standing there who were talking about the Hadadav Minchia. So one asked the other, what time, here's the Shah, no, Matai Shkia. So another one says, it's B'nai Brecha Yabasheva, Elaya, Shav Sheva, Chayt Elaya. So they're arguing about what time Shkia is in Rosh HaNikra, based on what it was like in Rebrach, based on the calendar, based on the watch. I couldn't believe my ears. I said, yes, your mamash, they were staring at the sun, they weren't even great rays, but that's what Shkia means for the sun. So that's the problem with today's world. Anyway, so...
Don't you tell people that are traveling that the Yemenis, they can rely on the Rebbeinu Tam's Shkia to get caught?
It depends who we are. Depends who's going to say that. I would not tell that to anybody. I would not permit somebody to drive based on Rebbeinu Tam's Shkia. I said, we don't. We have a few more things to talk about. Make a lot of Yakums, maybe for Ben Shmashos, other kind of coolness, and the Goyish drivers, things like that. But the only time I ever was, I think two times if I'm not mistaken, I was not to somebody to continue to drive after Shkia, was when I mamash thought it was a beged of Pigur Nefesh. One was, there was a woman who was stuck with her kids on a turnpike somewhere. She was supposed to meet her husband for Shabbos, and she got stuck in the middle of, it was between exit 2 and 3 or something, with a young woman with 2 or 3 little kids. And she didn't think it was such a good idea for her to pull over to the side and camp out on the side of the turnpike. She thought that was a shalat pikuach nefesh for her. So I concurred with that. And there was another guy called me once that he was stuck of all places on the Gafel's Bridge. Gafel's Bridge, the worst bridge possible. There's not you can't. Even when you're driving, it's for kosher. It's a miracle that nobody ends up under the water. So I said, for him to stop his car right dead and to stand and try to walk on the side, it's mamash pikuach nefesh. So I told him, I said, just keep on driving until you get off the bridge. The second you get off the bridge, you pull into the safest place. As soon as you find a place that's safe, then you have to just figure out what to do at that point. But short of Pikuach Nefesh, I don't think there's any hazard to continue. I know the Mechavah says. But we don't pass like this Mechavah. We'll see in a moment. So anyway, so the question is, let's take for a moment this assumption we're going with the Zman HaGra. Let's take the argument that we're following the Gra. Let's say we're willing even to say like the Gra, we're going Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumra. So the question is, what would that mean practically for us? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the only eight you can do is look up at the sky and look for stars. Is there anything else that we can do? Is there any way we could somehow figure out a way to apply the Gra's concept without forcing ourselves to look up at the sky? Or it's a cloudy day, it's hard for us to tell exactly what's going on in the sky. There's a lot of pollution, a lot of city lights. It's hard for us to tell what the sky is actually telling us. Is there any way for us to follow the Gra in effect and know what would the Gra say in New York? So came up a group of posts with the following idea, that there is a certain ratio, there's a certain formula, you can figure out how dark is it at 13 and a half minutes in Eretz Yisrael. So let's say 13 and a half minutes in April in Eretz Yisrael, how dark is it? So if you can somehow mimic that amount of darkness in New York and figure out how long does it take after Shkia to reach that degree of darkness that it takes 13 and a half minutes in Eretz Yisrael, so then presumably you will have the same effect of stars coming out. If the Gemara is telling us, the Tanoim and the Maroim are telling us that they checked and they saw that 13 and a half minutes after Shkia in April in Eretz Yisrael, there are enough stars out to be labeled Laila. So then if we can mimic that amount of darkness in New York, that should be alright. So there's a formula how to do that. I'm not a big lucky in astronomy, but there's a way to do that depending on the angle of the sun, the way the whatever, how far you are off of the equator. There's a way to figure out the darkness index, it's official term, something like that. So somebody wrote an entire sefer trying to figure out what the darkness index is in any given location. So if I'm not mistaken, I think there's even a website. I think it's Gra Darkness Index. I don't know exactly what it's called, but if you patch around, you can find any place in the world. What would the Gra say about your place? So how would those 13.5 minutes play out lemaise in your place? So how does it play out for us? We live in Tinek, so how does it play out in terms of Tinek? So the answer is it runs somewhere in the 20 to 25 minute range, 18 to 25 minutes depending a little bit on the time of the year. So the 13.5 minutes of the Gra comes out to approximately 20, 25 minutes or so in our part of the world. The further up you go, the further north you go, it's going to become longer. The further south you go, it's going to become shorter. Last week I was in Florida, my brother-in-law got married, so I was in Florida, and Shiloh was the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv. So usually I try to wait a little bit later. So here I waited, we didn't wait too long to daven Ma'ariv, because I forget, in Miami, so the Zmanim are even quicker than in Eretz Yisrael, because it's closer to the equator than Eretz Yisrael. So Ma'adoch in Eretz Yisrael, they would daven Ma'ariv 15 to 18, 20 minutes, whatever, the minute in Eretz Yisrael, 20 minutes Barach, to daven Ma'ariv. So with the Kansfira and Kriyashma and everything, so I thought of Florida, you can even shave off 1 or 2 minutes. So people got all excited about that. I remember one year when I was in, I used to go to LA for Yom Tif, so there was a question, when to daven, when to Kansfira, so there was a certain minyan we had, one of the yeshivas there, so there was no real rav at the minyan, so I by default kind of had to answer the question. So the shadow was up the first night of Chol HaMoed, whatever it was, so we had to decide when we're going to daven, when we're going to Kansfira. So everybody said, Hakan, Sviri, you can't count Sviri until 40 minutes after Shkia. I said, 40 minutes after Shkia? I said, 40 minutes after Shkia, that's a New York span. Even that's a way, way past the New York span. I said, let me tell you, I said, take a look at the globe, draw a straight line from Yerushalayim. You go, Mama, straight line, and you're right into LA. I said, it's the same line, it's the same distance from the equator. So I said, if it's good enough for the Megan Yerushalayim, that they don't mind 20 minutes after Shkia, I said, it's the same thing in LA. So they couldn't believe it. The guys couldn't believe it. They said, no, and none of the calendar says that. I said, the calendars are written by people who came from New York, so nobody bothered to see that. They didn't realize that it's warmer in LA than it is in New York, and it's closer to the equator. So I said, it's the issue is, the closest to the equator, that's what the real issue revolves around. So we, in effect, are following the Grozman. We're not doing like the Mishnah Berurah says, look at the sky and see stars. We're figuring out, without looking at the sky, we're telling you when the stars are going to be out. It's hard today to look for stars. Look for stars. You can't see anything because there's so many artificial light. Of course, if you go further north, then this Zman become much, much longer. Remember a couple of years ago, I was in Berlin with Rabbi Schechter, and it was in June time. And we're in the yeshiva there together, and they davened Ma'ariv. And the question was, it was really to Tichavim, to wait to say Krishna later. So the question was, how long do you have to wait? So I remember we were sitting in the Mishmerish, it was 10 o'clock at night, it was still pretty light outside, 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, so it still looked pretty light. So Rav Shechter commented to me, he said, now I understand the Rishonim beginning of brachas. He said, all the Rishonim write, they used to daven Ma'ariv with the Yod Yom. He said, it's ridiculous. He said, they lived this far of the world. They said, I have to get away in case you never got a chance. You never have a chance to go to sleep. So he said, that's why the Rishonim daven Ma'ariv early, because it doesn't get dark till 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember one year I was in Tisha B'Av, and also in that part of the world. And it was about 11:30. I ate about 11:30. By then I was pretty convinced. For the Rabbanim, it would have been Yom Kippur, I'm not sure I've eaten yet. But for the Rabbanim Tisha B'Av, I was pretty convinced. I thought that I was already maybe Tetzki Chavim at that point. But getting back to the story. So again, this is all assuming the Zmanim of the Gra. This is assuming the Gra, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, that starting at Shkia, so everything becomes Osir, Friday afternoon. But on Mosei Shabbos, in theory, at 13.5 minutes is good. You have to add on a few more minutes for the fact that we're further north. And then we'll talk a little bit probably about next week, a little bit more about Tosefta Shabbos. So that added on a couple more minutes to the equation. But basically, pretty much we presented this Zman Hayom according to the Gra. According to Ben Etam, everything is very, very different. According to Ben Etam, so everything starts much, much later. It's still Vav Hayom until much, much later. 58.5 minutes, everything starts to roll. 13.5 minutes after that, it's presumably Tes Kechodim. However, there's a big problem. 13.5 minutes, I think 72 minutes after the sun sets, it says Kechavim, that's only in Eretz Yisrael in the springtime. The same way that the time gets later for the Gra, it's got to get later for Rabbeinu Tam also. So now we have to extrapolate Rabbeinu Tam much, much later. We live further north, so then we have to pick a much, much later time. So, you know, a lot of yeshivas, they say, we wait 72 minutes for Yetzir Rabbeinu Tam. That's not Rabbeinu Tam. That was Rabbeinu Tam. You live in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of April. But I said, you live in New York in the middle of July. That's like, I'm a different man. I said, it's much, much later. So you got to go back to the darkness indexes and figure out how dark is it 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael. Pitch black. How dark is it in America? How much do you have to wait in New York to reach the point of the level of the angles of the sun of 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael? So the numbers are going to jump very, 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 very high. The numbers are going to jump well over 2 hours. So which of course leads us to a question. Wait a second. Does anybody really do that? If nobody really does that, so then what we're really saying is that we don't really follow Rabbeinu Tam. If we really honest to goodness follow Rabbeinu Tam, we would keep Shabbos much, 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 much longer than we do. So what we're really saying is that we've been machriya Allah against Rabbeinu Tam, that the grub, the Ruch Kutcher, he was a machriya, plays like Achor, and he was machriya like the Rif and the Rab against Rabbeinu Tam, against the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Minhag HaOlam. Nobody keeps Shabbos that late. So the fact that we don't keep Shabbos that late, to turn around on Friday afternoon and say we're going to drive after Shkia because we're lying to Rabbeinu Tam, that's Topos Achem Mishnei Rosh, we can do that. That's a contradiction in Eubay. So the Pashas of Dvarim, as it sounds like the Minhag HaOlam, at least in our community, has been to pretty much accept the Shita Zagra, Bein L'Kulu, Bein L'Chulu. So we'll have to stop for now. We'll have to, you know, maybe we'll hold on to these Mamkavos because we didn't quite finish the Sugya. Maybe next week we'll finish up the Bein Tam story and see how Tosafot Shabbos fits into this.
Every day?
Yeah,
like
4 days.
The next week?
Next week? Yeah, it's all about.